The recording has started. You may now proceed.
Great. Thanks, Teresa. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all, and welcome to the subteam for additional marketplace RPMs call on the 8th of September, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you happen to be only on the audio bridge today, would you please let yourself be known now?
I am only on audio bridge, Jay Scott.
Thanks, Jay Scott. Okay. And as a reminder to all participants, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will hand the meeting back over to Paul McGrady. You may begin.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Hello, everybody. We are, I think, in the home stretch here. So welcome to our usual Friday call, but it may not be so usual in the upcoming future. I think we have a fairly short agenda on the right. If anybody has anything to add, if you could put that in the chat, and we will be sure to add that. And I think we should just get right underway with item number one, which is discuss Claudio's proposed changes as sent to the mailing list. Claudio sent an email suggesting some changes to question five, and I saw one response from Christine Durain on the list essentially agreeing with Claudio's edits. And I didn't see any counter responses disagreeing with Claudio's edits, and so I'm wondering if that means that Claudio's proposed edits are okay. And I see that we've got, I'm going to see if I can get out to the actual email here that Claudio sent. I think he had a very targeted suggestion about how to reword question five just a little bit. Apologies for not having the email up. I know that there is a question. Staff has the question from Claudio over underneath the agenda, but I think that he had a specific editing. Okay, so the question there, Mary, maybe you can save me. I see your hands up. Is this an additional question that he wanted to tack onto question five? Specifically, where did he want to tack that on? Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. Hi, everyone. This is Mary. Paul, I think Claudio had suggested rephrasing question five with the text that he suggested, and that text, for the benefit of those on the audio bridge only, he had suggested to ask how and to what extent does use of the protected marks list affect the utilization of other RPMs? And I believe that on the list, Christine Durain has supported that rephrasing. And as Christine's pointing out in chat as well, it's basically about 70 or 80% the original question. What Claudio did was to add the phrase "to what extent" in the middle. Thanks, Paul. Paul, are you still there?
Sorry about that. My lovely mute button was preventing you from everybody hearing how brilliant I was. The other thing that I think came from the back and forth on the list was that Christine Durain suggested that question five be moved to the top. And Christine, is that correct?
Yes, this is Christine. Thanks, Paul. Yeah, that's correct. I know that ordering questions is actually one of our top topics or tasks coming up here, so I didn't want to jump the gun, but I'm just going to keep reasserting that five should be at the top until we get to that conversation. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks very much. So we can put a placeholder there. So let's do this. Let's first deal with the question of, does anybody have any concerns about Claudio's edits to question number five? I'll open a queue on that. Okay, terrific. No hands. I see here that the text says edits fine. Susan Payne's typing. Susan Payne says happy. All right. Terrific. So we will make those edits to question number 5, and we will move on to the next issue, which was in our action items list. For the list, which I didn't see anybody react to on the list, but there has been a essentially we need to deal with the question of what to do with deleted questions that ultimately are deleted because we think they may be outside the scope of what we're doing here. We had agreed to archive at least one question earlier, there's sort of a general question about should we be doing this for all deleted questions. I would like to open a queue on that. If someone feels strongly that let's do it, let's phrase it this way, and it will reveal my particular point of view, for which I apologize. But if anybody feels strongly that we should not archive these deleted questions at the end of the document, if they could get in the queue now and raise their hands and speak to why we shouldn't. Brian asked, what is the point generally of archiving questions? I think the point of archiving questions is to draw attention to the fact that they were under consideration to be asked, but that our group decided for whatever reason not to ask them. But the concept would therefore make its way back to the main working group without individual members of this group needing to remember to do that. So, essentially, I think the point of archiving the questions at the end of the documents really is more about keeping track of things, or at least that's how my point of view on it, or how I'm reading it. Anyways, I'll be quiet now. Christine, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Christine Doran, for the transcript. I oppose archiving the questions for a few reasons. One is in the other groups, we wanted to make sure that that when we altered a question, we saved the original charter question. That was for background and for context, and so that we kept what ENSO Council asked us to look at, even though we were sort of modifying the wording a bit. We wanted to make sure we were able to go back and reference it. This subteam and this document was entirely created by it was drafted by the co-chairs, but it was created as a result of questions that came from people in the working group. This was not sort of a charter question document or anything like that. So we don't have a history of allowing working group members, co-chairs or otherwise, to submit a database of questions to staff to just archive for us so that we don't have to forget our points later. So I'm opposed to the idea that some questions are considered so valuable that they should be archived for future discussion. I think that this team has been tasked with coming up with a list of questions the working group should consider. I think that if there are members who wish to bring other points up, they certainly can, but I think we're really starting down a slippery slope if we're now expecting staff to archive everyone's great ideas for 6 months or a year from now. Thank you.
Thanks, Christine. Phil, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I'll be brief on this. With all respect to Christine, I think it's almost silly not to archive and to send back to the full working group a report from the subteam which says these are the questions we decided to keep as we reworked them, and these were the ones we set aside because we thought they were outside the scope of our charter or whatever other reason. I don't expect a big, attempt to revive any of those rejected questions. I have no plans to do so, but I think it's silly because everyone on the working group knows the document that was sent to this work team and can readily compare that document to what comes back and say, well, where'd that question go? So it's not like you're going to keep it a secret that something wasn't adopted by the work team. So really, what is the point of not including that in the report back to the full working group saying, just noting, we decided this question wasn't in scope or wasn't relevant or wouldn't yield useful information, period. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Appreciate that. I see in the chat, Susan Payne says, strongly agree with Christine. We have old versions of the document available in the wiki should anyone desire to look at it. And Phil also noted that that if we don't archive these, that the working group members could say, you know, hey, where did that question go? So presumably they have access to the old question as well. So that's to Susan's point that there is a different place to find these. Greg, please go ahead. Your hand's up.
Thanks. Greg Shatton for the record. I'm opposed to archiving just for the sake of convenience. I am, however, thinking that it might make sense to archive, or maybe even archive isn't the right term, but to specifically indicate that these questions were rejected by the subgroup, and we could, you know, we could provide the specific reason, or we could just say they were rejected as either being out of scope or improperly drafted or seeking information that was, you know, not appropriate or unnecessary. I mean, this is the slush pile. This is the these are the cuts. So if they are archived, they really need to be reflected as rejects. So that's how I see it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Greg. Appreciate that. Okay, thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. Susan, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks, Paul. I think maybe it's a problem with the terminology in a way. I mean, I think we do have an archive of the rejected questions, which was the point I suppose I was making in the chat, that, you know, there are multiple draft documents that have been created as we've been doing our work, and I'm assuming that those don't get binned. I mean, they still sit somewhere in an archive. So there's an archive of our conversation and it's possible to see what's been deleted. But I think including them at the end of the document gives them a kind of status that, you know, they, as Christine was saying, I mean, it's not as though they were charter questions given to us by the council that we're rejecting. These didn't exist. So they were just, you know, they were produced as a straw person. And I think it would be strange to keep the rejected aspects of a straw person still in the document that's the final version. It seems odd to me, seems to give too much status to the questions that we've all agreed aren't relevant, and there is an archive. But to archive them at the end of the document seems odd to me. I'm not trying to hide what we've rejected and what we've accepted, but I love Phil's comment that he can't imagine anyone will want to reopen them, because all I can imagine is that we'll then have to spend another 6 months talking about the things we've rejected.
Thanks, Susan. And I see that the title of the section, deferred for further discussion, as to any missing issues that may need to be addressed if the question is deleted. Certainly does give the impression that these are, you know, they're topics for discussion at some point, whether that's for us or whether that's for the full working group, as opposed to it being a truly sort of ministerial activity, which is, you know, these are being sent to some archive somewhere. So maybe how this section is labeled is part of the angst. Not all of it, obviously, but part of it. So, Greg, I see your hand's up, but I thought Kathy was ahead of you in the queue. I'm not sure how that happened. Would you mind if I gave Kathy? Oh, okay, Greg's hand's down. All right, terrific. Kathy, please go ahead.
Great. Hope it's a beautiful day in Chicago. It is in D.C. This is Kathy Kleiman. And what's interesting is that the title you just read, Paul, because not all of the questions are rejected, not all of the questions are dismissed, and not all of the questions are irrelevant. I thought that there were some questions that we took, and hence the reason we created this category in the first place, was because they weren't questions to be answered by the subteam. They weren't questions that involved data gathering. They were questions we were sending back to the full working group. I remember at least one or two of these types of questions, because it was a policy question that belonged to the full working group. So I think we have to look very closely at this. I don't see what we're concerned about showing what we accepted and what we rejected. I think that's part of the transparency of our process. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. And I see John Nevitt's hand is up. John, please go ahead.
Thanks, Paul. I think Mary might have it right that we just create a page on the wiki where we list these questions, but we don't put it on, and we could put it in a report back to the full committee. Here are the ones we're going with, here are the ones we rejected. But having a document that goes out to the public is unacceptable from my perspective.
Thanks, John. So that they would be truly archived and not advertised necessarily.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it. And Mary notes that there are two additional sections currently in the document. One is deferred by sub-team agreement at Catholic's request a few weeks ago, and its fate still needs to be determined. And Mary, can you clarify which one of those is still a live issue?
Hi, Paul. This is Mary. Sure, thanks. It is the one that was originally question two, and we've put that label in brackets because obviously the main text has been moved around and renumbered. So that is the one question under the heading deferred for further discussion. That was original question two, and that's different from a separate question that this subteam had agreed to delete from the main text but had considered archiving. So I just wanted to point out that there's two separate questions and with two separate treatments at the moment.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense, and I see that distinction now in the document, which makes it a little easier. Okay. So since John Nevitt has offered a compromise, which is to archive these on the wiki, but not to include them in the document. I'd like to get there on this question today so that we can move forward on substantive things in the time that remains. But can I have I don't know if I need a full queue. I'll open a queue just so that everybody can be heard. A queue on John Nevitt's proposal of these being archived in the wiki, but not as part of the report document that we send back to the working group. I see a check mark green from Susan. I'm taking that as yes. John Nevitt's proposal works for her. Christine Durain gives a check mark. Brian, check mark. David, Lillian, green check mark. All right. Greg Shatton. Mary, Phil Corwin has his hand up. Phil, can you please go ahead?
Yeah, Paul, as I just wrote in the chat, I support John's proposal with what he stated when he proposed it, that there's a link in the document to the place in the wiki where the rejected questions can be found.
Okay, so we have a slight amendment to Phil's to John's proposal.
Yeah, that wasn't my proposal, Phil. Just to respond, if it's going to the subgroup or the main group, that's fine. But if the one that's going out of the public, no. This is a questionnaire. We're trying to collect facts. And if there are questions that were viewed as inappropriate, it shouldn't go out to the public within that questionnaire, be it in a link or in text.
Well, just to clarify, John, all my comments in this call have been in regard to what's reported back to the working group.
Oh, yeah, then I'm okay with.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. So I saw lots of green check marks on John's proposal. Let's do the green check marks again. John's proposal as slightly modified by Phil to include a link. Let's see. Does that get us there? All right. We've got green check marks all up and down. Great. Okay. That's terrific. Oh, I see a red check mark from John, but I don't think he means that since it's his proposal. Great. All right. Thanks, John. Yay. Okay. So deleted questions will be archived. There will be a link from the main reporting document, and I see applause and smiley faces. Thank you, guys. But we will, we'll work on how that looks, but we have agreement on the concept. That's terrific. Okay. Now, the good stuff. Hopefully, Mary can get us started on where we left off. I know we have this deferred question, original question number two, and we have some other stuff to plow through. Mary, your hands up, please. Go ahead.
Thanks, Paul. This is Mary from staff. I think where the group stopped last week was what is now question seven in the document. And the discussion last week was whether it would be possible to rephrase this question, particularly subpart C and subpart D, to make it more neutral, I think was the comment that a few people made. Or if that's not the will of the group, whether it should then be deleted, potentially archived in the way that we've just described.
Terrific. And I do think we made some progress on that, but we unfortunately ran out of time. So looking again here at 7C and D, 7C, are these services separated from the ICANN mandated and supported services, and if so, how? And D, are these services supported by the ICANN contract and fees? I wish I could remember who is advocating for what. So we'll start again on this one a little bit. Folks with objections to 7C and D as currently written. Anybody want to object to C and D as currently written? All right, Christine, I see your hand.
Thanks. This is Christine for the transcript. I think last week we were really confused about what C meant. Are these services, I'm assuming the additional marketplace RPMs, separated? I'm not sure what separated means, from the ICANN mandated and supported services. And we don't know what if that meant. I don't know, because ICANN doesn't support, really, the TMCH. Anyway, and if so, how? So I know all three chairs are on the call, and perhaps one of them would be able to interpret C for us. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a great idea. I see that Phil and Susan have their hands up. Let's hear those comments, and then if we can't get clarity, Phil, your hands down. Terrific. Susan, if you can go ahead, and then we'll take up Christine's suggestion that we put one of the three co-chairs on the spot to explain C to us.
Okay. I'm going to try. I may be completely wrong here, but I'm wondering if perhaps the reason we're all confused is because of the fact that this whole document uses a kind of catch-all term of additional marketplace RPMs, and I'm not trying to reopen that as such, but I wonder if actually what this question is trying to ask about is services that that the TMCH operator is providing. So the kind of the ongoing claims or something like that. And if you're asking this question about the ongoing claims, it maybe sort of makes sense, but it doesn't seem to me to make much sense or to be very clear if you're interpreting this question as asking about, registry-specific offerings on protected marks lists. So I'm wondering if this is what the co-chairs had in mind, and perhaps it's one of those situations where we actually need to be a bit clearer about what additional marketplace RPM we're talking about.
Thank you, Susan. I promised we would cut to putting one of the co-chairs on the spot, but we'll go ahead and hear from Greg first. And if the three co-chairs that are on the line could, get ready to address what it was 7C was all about, that would be terrific. Greg, please go ahead.
I'm going to try as well, although I feel like I'm on some sort of a game show. What's my question or something? But in any case, I think this refers to a part of the authorization of the TMCH. I'm not sure exactly which document it's in, and it should be cited, that allows the TMCH to offer additional services and to maintain additional databases in addition to the TMCH mandated database for the mandated Sunrise and claim services, but that if the TMCH does kind of do business on the side, that it has to segregate or separate that additional database and service from the TMCH database. And I guess the question here is basically, are you breaching this provision or not? Not saying it's an agreement, but, you know, are you following this or not? So I think that is what, in fact, this is referring to, but I think we need to go back to the primary source document and draft using the terms that are there. Unfortunately, I can't tell you what primary source document that is. Thank you.
Thanks, Craig. So we have a couple of working theories on what 7C was meant to be about. And so I will ask any of the three co-chairs who were involved in drafting this question to hop on and tell us what the goal of question 7C was. Okay, Jay Scott, I see your hand. Please go ahead. And Mary, I know your hand's up too. But we'll hear from Jay Scott first.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I think it's very much along the lines of what the point that Greg was making was, are these services distinct and separated from those that are run with the ICANN mandated services, or are they commingled in some way in how they function and how they're run? I believe that is the point of the question, although I can see from when you have other parties look at it, I can see where there is some confusion with regards to some of the wording in here and how it, you know, points to things that are conceptually not how ICANN views itself, nor the role it plays with regards to these things, which only causes more confusion when trying to get an answer from someone. The and supported services. I think that was the purpose of the question. I'll look to the other two co-chairs for any comments they want to make, but I believe that was sort of the genesis of what we were trying to ask.
Thank you, Jay Scott. Phil or Kathy, any comments?
This is Phil. I'll try to be helpful here, though. This was not a question which I had much of a hand in drafting. I think we're just, again, we're trying to find out the relationship of the additional protections offered in the marketplace, their relationship to the mandated protections that all new TLD registries must offer. And, of course, one of those is the clearinghouse. So the first part of the question is trying to determine the extent to which these marketplace RPMs, and that's the term we're using, so that's the one I'll use, are based upon accessing the SMD information in the TMCH. We just want to understand the relationship. I think the second part of the question wants to make sure that that's being done consistent with existing policy. This might even be helpful, the answer to this one, to the private offerers if we found that there was some impediment which might block a service they wish to offer in the future. But, I think it's just a basic factual question. Review the language of the policy and make sure there's no impediments there. And I think the third one, my presumption would be, it might be better phrased, you know, is there a cost involved when they access that, and could they get the same information at a similar cost from other sources about, you know, a private operator, although they have offered DPMOs up to now, based upon a mark being registered in a in the TMCH. I don't know of any impediment to a new registry operator saying, hey, we'll provide that for any registered trademark meeting these criteria to provide this documentation. So it's just a comparison. And then I'm going to leave it maybe to Kathy to add the answer to the last part, which about the other stakeholders along the value train. That seems to be the most nebulous part of this question for me. But I hope that was helpful. Again, this was not a question which I had great involvement in drafting, but it's basically trying to determine to what extent these existing marketplace protections are based on accessing the TMCH database, and whether there's any anything that might block a future service because of policy language. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mary, thank you for your patience. If you could please go ahead.
Not at all. Thank you, Paul. This is Mary from staff. This is just to continue some comments that staff made last week. I think our concern here is to try and clarify who this question is directed at. From the tone of the discussions, it seems like this question would be an appropriate one for the trademark clearinghouse providers and not ICANN. And so in terms of 7C and D, in particular C, I just wanted to confirm that ICANN does not support the provision of the additional RPMs by the registry operators or the TMCH. So just seeking a clarification, not just of the terminology, but as to who this question is directed at, because from the ICANN perspective, the answer to from our end is no.
Okay, thank you, Mary. I see from the chat that there is, Christine says that she believes that question two gets at 7C. Greg suggested earlier that if nobody knows what the question means, it should go to the reject pile. Jay Scott says, I tend to agree with Greg. If the question raises too many questions or is open to interpretation, I think the flaws have been pointed out and it should be eliminated. Jeff Newman says, agree with Christine. This is covered in question two. I'm going to put this in the reject pile. And then, David, you may need to explain this. Maybe cut it away with Occam's Razor. Occam's Razor, of course, I believe, is that the simplest solution is usually the correct one, but maybe you can tell us, maybe cutting it away is the simplest solution. Is that what you're proposing? That is what I meant. Okay, all right, Dave, okay. Perfect. I'm so glad I took all those classes. I didn't know how I would apply them later because I finally did. All right, I see Kathy's hand up. So I think at this point, there seems to be a lot of discussion on the chat about eliminating C, 7C. So if we could have some reaction to that on the list as well. Kathy, please go ahead and tell us what was on your mind. Thanks.
Kathy Kleiman for the record. And I actually think Greg prefaced his comments with something about a game show. And if it were a game show, he'd get the grand prize. Because he did get to the core of exactly what C is for, which is, and this is a question to the providers, and note number two is a question to the registry operators. So a question to the providers, and perhaps to ICANN, and again, to what Mary said, we've said it a million times, even if there's a simple answer, it's worth putting it on the record and on the table as part of our review. So if ICANN does not think that they are paying for or even subsidizing or unintentionally subsidizing things that are outside of ICANN consensus policy, that's an important piece of information for the review team. So C, as Greg said and as Jay Scott said, we're looking at what role does a TMCH provider and he'll do the play in servicing the additional marketplace RPMs. And are these services separated from the ICANN-mandated services? And supported services just means, you know, paid-for services. And we can make that clear. But exactly, the original rules, exactly as Greg said, require separation between primary services and ancillary services, between consensus policy mandated and supported, meaning we pay for it, ICANN pays for it, consensus services and services that are being offered on the side. And so this seems to me to be a very straightforward data question. I think the working group would be surprised if we didn't come back with the, if it's a simple answer, great. If it's not a simple answer, all the better. This is kind of pretty pure data gathering. Thanks.
Sorry, mute button again. thank you, Kathy. Jeff, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I don't think this is Jeff Newman. I don't think this is simple data gathering. This question is actually asking for a conclusion as opposed to asking for data. If you were to ask for data, you say to the TMCH provider, what service do you provide? How do you provide it? Then the group makes a conclusion as to whether it is separate enough to comply with the policy. You don't ask the provider a conclusion statement like this. You make that determination yourself from actual data that they provide based on the services that they provide. The other thing that's, which I think you can get from question two, the other thing I think that's kind of, weird about this question is that when you ask the provider, if you were to ask them this conclusion, first of all, I don't know that the provider is bound by the policy that the GNSO set. They're bound by a contract with ICANN. We can look at the contract with ICANN to make sure it's got a provision that includes what the policy is, which I think is probably a good thing for us to gather that kind of data. But a provider, again, is just going to say, everything I provide is in accordance with my contract, and, we can ask them to verify that. But again, this is asking for a conclusion. It's not asking for data. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Susan, I see your hands up. Please go ahead, Susan.
Hi, thanks. Really quick point, and it's not to be taken as supporting keeping the question in, but if this does stay in as a question to ICANN with the comment that it's valuable to be still asking questions we know the answer to, I think we agreed on a previous call, or we certainly discussed on the previous call, and I thought we'd agreed that if that was the case, we were also going to include some kind of a reference to make it clear that we already knew the answer, and so we didn't then at a later stage, or the full working group at a later stage, didn't go around seeking data and seeking answers to a question that we all know now we can answer straight off. Mary's already answered it for us. So I just wanted to make that point because I thought we'd had that kind of agreement that we were going to do that if we were going to ask a blatantly obvious question that we already have the answer to.
Thank you, Susan. All right, Kathy, I see your hands up. Please go ahead, and then we'll try to see if we can figure out what to do. Thanks.
Sure. Hey, Paul and everyone. This is Kathy. I still don't understand how this is – I don't understand Jeff's response or why this isn't a basic data gathering question. Are the ancillary services separated from the ICANN-mandated services? That seems as cut and dry as any other data gathering question we've asked. And in this case, we're asking it to the provider and not to the registry operator because the provider is providing these services. Seems like a basic data gathering for these additional marketplace RPMs. And one kind of core to our mission of review, given that the rules mandate a separation. So, again, don't see why this is hard. Don't see why this one is redundant. And don't see how we've already answered this one. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. Before we get to Jeff, do we have the language in the contract that mandates that separation? And I think it might be very helpful to have that in front of us because if the contract already mandates that, then I understand a little bit better what Jeff said, which is really isn't this question just an elaborate way of saying are you complying with your contract? I don't know. Mary says, "At Paul, give us a moment. We will look it up." Okay. So let's give Mary that moment to look it up. Thank you, Mary, as always. Jeff, your hand's up. Let's keep working on this while Mary looks that up.
Okay, thanks. So I used to work at an employer, many of you know who that is, that was heavily regulated by the essentially the Federal Communications Commission. We got audited on neutrality every single year. They did not ask us, are you neutral? They got facts. So this is what I'm saying. We collect the facts. What services do you, the TMCH, provide? Number two, how do you provide those services? Three, do you use any data from the TMCH database? Those three questions then, when they give us details, would allow us as a working group to determine whether they are, quote, separated from the ICANN mandated and supported or whatever the language is in the contract. It's not basic data gathering. It's actually a conclusion. So let's ask, and I think all these, by the way, are asked in question two in different ways. But, again, that's not data gathering. That's actually asking for a conclusion. Doesn't make any sense to me. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Phil, your hand's up. Please go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. And let me readdress this. I must admit, in my previous comments, I got confused by this discussion. I was actually referring to question two. So if anyone was confused by my prior remarks, that's because I was confused. In regard to question seven, number one, it seems to me that this is a question going to Deloitte and IBM. This is a question for the TMCH provider. And in the context of a inquiry into private protection. So I think to make it more focused, that Part A, which reads now to seem to refer to any website and webinar service, should be refined to reflect just whether anything on the website or in the webinars is references private protections. So it's within the scope of this particular work team and not the broader website and webinar services that providers may be providing. Part B, what support? I'm not sure. I think we need to replace support with something different because I'm not clear on what support means, whether it can mean a lot of different things, and I'm not sure that the registrant referral here in the context of looking at private protections makes sense because generally the TMCH provider is interfacing with registry operators who rely on the registration data and with mark owners. Registrants are only affected after the fact by the claims notice. So I think this has to be refined in some way to refer to what services or whatever the proper word is does the provider provide to registry operators in support of the private protections. I think the third part, I guess within this context, if it's going to the TMCH operator, is really should we find to say is your provision of whatever support services for the private protections delivered separately or concurrently with support for the mandated services, the Sunrise registration and the claims notices, and I think rather than the word supported in D, the word, at least supported, should be changed to consistent, and I'll let others debate whether we should just be looking at the contract or whether the inquiry should be the fees as well. I do support looking at whether the provision of any of these services is consistent. I'm assuming it is consistent, and I don't expect we'll find anything different, and I think registry operators should be happy that we report that back to the full working group, or that we report it back to the public when we issue a report. So those are my question 7 focused comments. I hope those are helpful. Thank you. And all made in a personal capacity.
Okay, thanks, Phil. Okay, so Mary put into the chat, at Greg, is this more or less what you had in mind from the final TMCH framework published in the final applicant guidebook? The clearinghouse will be required to separate its two primary functions, authentication and validation of the trademarks in the clearinghouse, and serving as a database to provide information to the new GTLD registries to support pre-launch Sunrise or trademark claim services, and trademark clearinghouse service providers may provide ancillary services so long as those services and any data used for those services are kept separate from the clearinghouse database. I see some people typing in the chat. Phil says, to sum it up, I think question 7 should be refined and clarified, not discarded. Dave Scott's typing. Okay. While Jay Scott's typing, I hope I don't get in trouble for Jay Scott says, query, is an additional registry operator, RPM, an ancillary service of the trademark clearinghouse? That's a very good question. Since ancillary service, as far as I know, isn't defined anywhere, Mary Wong says, at Jay Scott, no, not under its contract with ICANN. Susan Payne says no. So if additional marketplace protections are not ancillary services, then the separation contained in the applicant guidebook, unless I'm reading it wrong, doesn't seem to apply. And Mary Wong says there is only one approved ancillary service at this time, the TMCH provision of extended claim services. So Jay Scott says, it seems to me that those would be service offered directly to trademark TMCH registrants and users from a TMCH provider. Jeff Newman, is ancillary service a defined term in the contract? Okay, so we are we're well into contract interpretation with 10 minutes to go. Unfortunately, this question is just, 7 C and D, if we are having to dig into the details of the applicant guidebook and trying to parse contract language, then 7 C and D as written are not ready for prime time. Jay Scott says, in my humble opinion, this just goes to show this question should be deleted. All right, so we've got quite the queue. We have 10 minutes left, we'll hear some more voices on this. I was hoping to get to original question 2, but it doesn't look like we're going to be able to do that, so we'll have at least one more call. Phil, your hand is up. Is that an old hand or a new one? Old hand. Okay. Jeff, Susan, and then Kathy, and then we will see where we go. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, I guess the reason I raised my hand, sorry, Jeff Newman, is because there were a number of people that jumped to the conclusion really quickly that the an additional RPM offered by a registry is not an ancillary service. That's why I kind of raised the question, what's the definition of an ancillary service? Because I don't know what it is, but apparently a lot of people jumped to that conclusion. I think we need to see what the definition of an ancillary service is. But all of that said, that's for the working group to know the definition of an ancillary service. Again, if we're asking questions externally, we should ask for what are the services you provide and how do you provide it, maybe even add a couple extra of who your customers are and where you get the data from, whatever it is, just straight factual questions for which we as a group or the people evaluating it make a determination as to whether it's, quote, separate as defined in the policy. You don't ask that of the TMCH. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Kathy, please go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with Jeff. I don't. The definition of ancillary services is one we should be talking about because it runs to what services have to be separated by the TMCH providers. I don't think it's that complicated, and it wasn't necessarily ancillary services, at least as defined in the original rules, did not mean anything ICANN approved. It meant there was nothing that limited it to something that ICANN would have to approve. In fact, the thinking at the time was mostly that ICANN would work with RPMs, consensus-based policy, but that ancillary services would be those private private protections that people might try to use. So one example was Adopt Pizza, and this was talked about many times a few years ago, that a TMCH provider, we now know that to be Deloitte, but it wasn't Deloitte at the time, might want to do pre-registration for Adopt Pizza since many of the registrations in Adopt Pizza would expressly not be trademark protected because they have to do, but a lot of pizza places have names that are places or names that are proper names, like Joe's Pizza is a big one in my area. So ancillary services expressly at the time meant those private services TMCH might provide to registry operators. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. Susan, your hand's up, and then I think I'm going to do call for a little consensus vote here. With green arrows, green checks, and red X's on this particular question. But let's hear from you, Susan. I want to make sure everybody's heard from. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I think I'm saying what Kathy said. I mean, my understanding way back was that, you know, it was this idea that there was some mandated RPMs, but that if Deloitte wanted to build a database of, say, non-registered marks, then they could do so. If some registry, you know, if enough registries were going to want to access that non-registered mark database to offer, say, you know, a subsidiary RPM, but the whole idea was they were going to have to keep that somewhere in a separate database. But I'm sure we've asked Deloitte this question already, and they've already told us they haven't done any. They haven't done that. So I just feel like we're going around in circles, spinning our wheels.
Okay, thank you, Susan. So here's what I propose to do. Let's have a vote on whether to keep 7, C, and D. However, with the caveat that if 7, C, and D are voted away, that if anybody who are champions of 7, C, and D, or at least the concepts underneath 7, C, and D that maybe these questions don't get to but are out there, that they do a proposed new 7 C and D on the list during the week. And if anybody comes forward with a new proposal of how to get it 7 C and D in a way that doesn't require us to know what ancillary services means is more crisp language and everybody can get behind that, terrific. If there are no takers on the list, during the week, then 7 C and D will just be deleted, and that will be that. So let's try that. If you are for deleting 7 C and D, but with the caveat that, the list is open to people with new ideas of how to phrase these things, can I have a green check mark? If you are opposed to deleting it, entirely, can I get a red X? And I suppose a third option, even though I hate third options, would be delete it, no chance to resubmit something on the list. So that would be step away. All right, I'm not getting any feedback on that. Green check mark, delete, but open to the list. X, keep, and delete, no chance to resubmit on the list, would be step away. You guys can choose those from the drop-down menu. All right, so J. Scott says delete, step away. Bill says is in pain, delete, step away. Phil Corbin says keep. Kathy says keep. All right, folks, we're at 2-2.
Yeah, Paul, this is Phil. I just want to note, I put in the chat, I'm supporting keeping them at this time, but acknowledging the need for them to be rephrased to be more focused. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, we have essentially, we're at 2-2. We're at 3-2. Okay. Griffin says delete, move on. J. Scott, Christine, Griffin, John, delete and move on. All right, last call. All right, Jeff, your hand's up. I don't know how to interpret that in case, but maybe you have something to say. But we do need people to express an opinion. So this is the point in the call where participation is extremely important because we have 2 minutes left. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to answer it. I provided some possible questions you can ask the TMCH or ask, sorry, IBM and Deloitte, and then the working group decides whether this is compliant. So, I mean, I think it's already in question two, but that would be my solution. But if I had to pick one of your choices, I would go along with deleting the question.
Okay. All right. So we are at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Delete and move on. We have essentially two keeps and one keep, but work on redoing it. So that looks to me like the delete carries the day. And so a 7, C, and D will end up on the archive with the link to them in our final report. Okay. All right. Well, that should take us next to the next call, which will then focus, I believe, on the original question two. So if everybody could read that during the week and also do some thinking about what order these questions should go in. There's already a proposal to move 5 to the top. Take a look at the questions and see where you think things should go. Are they in the right order? And hopefully we'll be able to end our work next week. Mary, your hands up. Please send us off.
Thank you, Paul. So just to note that we will arrange for another call same time, same day next week, but a question for the group to consider if there's any report that you want to send to the working group before next Friday, that's something that we can assist with doing as well, for example, with the questions that you've already agreed on.
Thanks, Mary. Let's have a discussion on that on the list. Being so close to being able to do something final, my reaction is not to do something interim, but let's have a discussion of whether or not we should do that on the list, and let's say goodbye so that everybody can get on to their next call. Thank you all. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you. The meeting has been adjourned. Operator, please stop the recordings and disconnect all remaining lines. Have a great day.